Welcome aboard, gang, to Tube Talk on WRCA 1330 AM.
Roll out those lazy, hazy, crazy days of summer. Those days of soda and pretzels and beer. Roll out those lazy, hazy, crazy days of summer. Dust off the sun and moon and sing a song of cheer. Just fill your basket full of sandwiches and wieners. Then lock the house up, now you're set. And on the beach you'll see the girls in their bikinis. As cute as ever, but they never get them wet. Roll out those lazy, hazy, crazy days of summer. Those days of soda and pretzels and beer. Roll out those lazy, hazy, crazy days of summer. You'll wish that summer could always be here.
Roll out those lazy, hazy, crazy days of summer.
Those days of soda and pretzels and beer. Roll out those lazy, hazy, crazy days of summer. Dust off the sun and moon. Sing a song of cheer. Don't have to tell a girl and fella about a drive-in or some romantic movie scene. Why, from the moment that those lovers start arriving, you'll see more kissing in the cars than on the screen. Roll out those lazy, hazy, crazy days of summer. Those days of soda and pretzels and beer. Roll out those lazy, hazy, crazy days of summer. You'll wish that summer could always be here. You'll wish that summer could always be here. You'll wish that summer could always be here.
Nat King Cole, 1963, and yes, friends, pretty soon you will wish that summer was always here.
Dentists know what cleans teeth best, and over 4,000 dentists say Colgate tooth powder with a 2-minute routine gets teeth sparkling and super clean. So to remove dull film and get your teeth shining clean, just brush teeth 2 minutes morning and night with Colgate tooth powder. Brush inside, outside, and biting surface.
Hola, amigo. You want to know about stereo phonographs? Listen to my last bullfight on Ordinary Stereo.
Olé!
But now, Colombia Stereo 1. Ah, there is a Corrida de Toros. Real life like Magnifica. There is such a big difference in stereo phonographs. With most, all you get is a couple of speakers shooting in different directions. But with Colombia... Ah, hombre, you get fantastic stereo projection. What it does is to send circles of sound sweeping through every inch of a room. You are surrounded with live sound, live feeling, live passion. Ole! Ole! How they cheered me. Ask your Columbia phonograph dealer to demonstrate Stereo One by Columbia. Prices start as low as $39.95 for portables, $129.95 for consoles. El picador, who let the bull out?
Everywhere you go, across the country trip or across the street party, you carry the fun with you when you own a Columbia Stereophonic High Fidelity Phonograph. There's a marvelous selection of 7 new portable models in smart new color combinations at your Columbia Phonograph dealer, from which you may choose. Each one is a masterpiece of design and beauty. More quality, more features, and more styling have been built into these sturdy portables than ever before. How much fun you'll have enjoying all the wonderful new sound of stereo records. Regular records take on new beauty, too, when played on handsome Columbia portables. You'll be amazed at the big console sound that is reproduced by Columbia portable stereophonic high-fidelity phonographs. You'll thrill to the excitement of Stereo One by Columbia. Number one in the wonderful world of sound. And Columbia portables are economical, too. Prices start as low as $24.95. See them and hear them at your Columbia phonograph dealer.
I'm thrilled already. Those smart new color combinations, a handsome-looking set. I've got to tell you, I'm so thrilled, I don't know what to do. Hey, we go downstairs, we can listen to my Carpenters records tonight, or maybe not.
Lazy river by the old mill run. Lazy river in the noonday sun. Linger a while in the shade of tree. Throw away your troubles, dream with me. Up the lazy river where the robin song wakes the morning we roll along. Maybe blue skies above, everyone's in love. Up the lazy river, how happy we'll be. Up the lazy river with me. Up the lazy river by the old mill run. That lazy, lazy river in the noonday sun. You can linger for a while in the shade of a tree. Throw away your troubles, baby. Dream of me. Up the lazy river where the robin song wakes a bright new morning where we can roll along. There may be blue skies up above, but as long as we're in love, there will be a lazy river. How happy we could be.
Bobby Darin, Up the Lazy River, a widely covered song, but very capably done by our pal Bobby Darin. Hey, let me ask you a couple of qualifying questions, as they like to say down in the sales department. Do you still start your day with a hot bowl of Maypo? Do you wish you could get a dish of vanilla ice cream in an elegantly shaped, fluted metal ice cream dish? Marshmallow, please, no whipped cream. Do you remember when Main Street was more than just an intersection in your hometown? Well, folks, this is the radio show for you, right at the intersection of wonderful music and great conversation. This is Tube Talk on WRCA 1330 AM. I'm your host, Paul Burish, and we have an appointment here every Friday night at 10 PM. We sit around that beautiful Ward's Airline console with that splendiferous dial and just and relax and enjoy all kinds of nifty stuff like this every Friday.
Thank you.
Boogie Woogie. Hope you're digging that Boogie Woogie music. That's Tommy Dorsey and his orchestra from 1938. And you know what? We have another question for you tonight. Have you spent hours upon hours of electronic restoration work on that classic radio you've just found? Do you wish to complete that vintage look properly? We would humbly suggest you check out the grill cloth at richmonddesignsinc.com to complete that set and finish it properly. richmonddesignsinc.com has the cloth for your Philco Zenith or other very fine set. You can also check out some of the other super nifty radios Kenny has worked on and brought back to life. You can peek into the workshop of a true master. So please check out richmonddesignsinc.com for your grill cloth needs. It is imperative upon us that we support the folks who provide us with quality furnishings to complete our products. You know, we always hear people saying, you know, I just can't find this part, this dial glass, this decal. And there are folks out there who produce them for us. We really need to support them, help them out, keep them around, or it's going to be a lot harder for us to keep things rolling in the right direction, which is the goal here is the restoration and listening to those super deluxe antique radios. Well, you know, here we are. And we're going to take a little half-hour break tonight and go back into old-time radio land on the Wayback Bus. Mr. Keen, Tracer of Lost Persons, was one of radio's longest-running shows. Despite the fact that you'll get very few arguments, it was certainly the B-movie of the radio world, and maybe a B-minus, C-plus. It ran from October 1937 to April of 1955. You know, that's well into the television time, and it's amazing how it hung on. It had a lot of great sponsors, Whitehall Pharmacol, Anison, toothpastes, Bidasol antacid mints, Hill's cold tablets, there's one for you, and Heat Liniment, Dentine, Aerowax, RCA Victor, Chesterfield cigarettes were all sponsors. It was on for so long, I mean, everybody was sponsoring this thing at one time or another. And it's kind of a funny thing, too. You know, while it is a little cliche, and one reviewer has written that although the show was extremely popular, the plots were so unnatural and predictable that the listeners themselves had already solved the crime even before Mr. Keen explained it to Clancy. Nevertheless, the show had mastered the formula that kept fans waiting for the next episode. And just by looking at how long it ran, you know, the formula worked somehow. And even Bob and Ray had some fun with this. They did a parody, Mr. Trace, Keener Than Most Persons. And, you know, so that's testimony enough for me. And here we go. It's the Poison Sandwich Murder Case. Hope you all enjoy.
Presenting Mr. Keen, Tracer of Lost Persons, a new weekly feature on NBC's All-Star Festival of Mystery, Comedy, Music, and Drama. Brought to you by Anison for fast relief from pain of headache, neuritis, and neuralgia. By RCA Victor, world leader in radio, first in recorded music and first in television. And by Chesterfield, always milder, better tasting, cooler smoking, plus no unpleasant aftertaste. No matter what you now take for headache relief, we urge you to try Anison for the incredibly fast relief these tablets bring you the next time you're suffering from a headache. Now, the reason Anison is so wonderfully fast-acting and effective is this. Anison is like a doctor's prescription. That is, Anison contains not just one, but a combination of medically proven active ingredients in easy-to-take tablet form. Thousands of people have received envelopes containing Anison tablets from their own dentist or physician, and in this way discovered the incredibly fast relief Anison brings from pains of headache, neuritis, or neuralgia. So the next time a headache strikes, take Anison for this wonderfully fast relief. Anison, A-N-A-C-I-N. Anison at any drug counter in handy boxes of 12 and 30, economically family-sized bottles of 50 and 100. Now, Mr. Keene, tracer of lost persons, one of the most famous characters of American fiction in one of radio's most thrilling dramas. Tonight, the famous old investigator's case is entitled The Poison Sandwich Murder Case. Our scene opens in the office of Mr. Keene, the famous investigator, and his friend and partner, Mike Clancy. The telephone is ringing. And when Mike picks up the receiver to answer, he starts a chain of strange and fearful incidents that will eventually lead to a most surprising conclusion.
Mr. Keene's office.
Mr. Keene?
No, this is Mike Clancy, Mr. Keene's partner.
Well, may I speak to Mr. Keene, please? It's very urgent. My name is Stuart Blair.
Well, just a second, Mr. Blair. Well, Mr. Keene.
Yes, Mike?
Someone on the phone named Stuart Blair wants to talk to you. He says it's important.
Stuart Blair? I don't believe I know him. I'll take it, Mike. Thank you. Hello?
Mr. Keene.
Yes?
This is Stuart Blair. I'm a law student, Mr. Keene. I live at number 93 Regal Street.
What can I do for you, Mr. Blair?
I'd like an appointment to see you as soon as possible. It's extremely urgent.
What's it about?
I'd rather not discuss it over the telephone.
Well, let me look at my appointment list. I can see you tomorrow morning if it's convenient.
But tomorrow... Tomorrow may be too late. I must...
Hello?
I must see you today, Mr. Keene.
Mr. Blair, what's the trouble? You sound ill.
I don't know. I feel... I'm dying.
Mr. Blair. Hello. Hello. 93 Regal Street, Mike, and we'd better hurry.
The door must be bolted on the inside, Mr. Keene, sir. I can't manage to open this lock.
Can you break it open, Mike?
Well, maybe. Just stand to one side, boss. Well, she's given away. This one ought to do it.
There he is, Mike, on the floor. It must be Stuart Blair.
Stands preserve us, boss. He's dead.
I was afraid we'd be too late. Do you see any marks of violence on him, Mike?
No, sir.
Judging by his color and the expression on his face, I'd say he was poisoned. From something in this sandwich he was eating. Now, this is murder.
Well, it looks that way, Mr. Keene.
Now, let's have a quick look around before we call the police, Mike. What's in this closet?
Well, it's just full of suits, boss.
There must be over a dozen suits here. And six pairs of shoes.
Well, this fellow Blair seemed to be well off.
Yet this apartment isn't an expensive one. Odd.
There's a photograph here on the dresser, Mr. Keene, sir.
Yes, I noticed that, Mike. She's a very attractive woman.
It says, with admiration and respect, from Lenore.
All right, Mike. Notify the police.
Boss, look. There's a young girl standing at the open door.
Who are you, miss?
I'm Joy Harms. Isn't this Stuart Blair's apartment? Stuart!
Hey, don't touch him, please.
What's the matter with him? Is he ill?
I'm afraid he's dead.
Dead? Oh, no. No, he can't be. Stuart!
Mr. Keene, she's passing out.
Bring her over to a chair, will you, Mike?
Here. Easy now. There.
And you'd better phone the police. I'd like them to perform an autopsy so that we can know what poison killed Stuart Blair.
That I will, Mr. Keene.
Now, Miss Harms.
Yes, Mr. Keene.
May I ask why you happened to come here just after this young man was murdered?
Murdered, Mr. Keene? Stuart murdered?
In my opinion, there's no question of it, Joy.
Oh, no.
You see that partly eaten sandwich beside the telephone?
Yes.
It contained the poison that killed him.
Mr. Keene, surely you don't think I know anything about that sandwich.
I didn't say anything about that, Joy. I only asked you why you happened to come here at this time.
Stuart and I made a date yesterday. I was to pick him up here in my car and take a drive in the country.
I assume, then, that the last time you talked to him was yesterday, and that you didn't see him at any time today.
I see quite clearly that you have the idea I had something to do with Stuart's murder.
I'm afraid you misunderstand me, Joy.
Mr. Keene, sir.
Yes, Mike?
Well, the police are sending for the body, and they'll give you an autopsy fast.
Well, thank you, Mike.
If you don't mind, I'll leave now, Mr. Keene.
Oh, Joy, have you any idea whose photograph that is on the dresser? The one signed Lenore.
Why, yes. That's Lenore Barclay.
Lenore Barclay?
She works for some book publishing firm. She's what you might call a career woman, Mr. Keene.
Well, if you're asking me, miss, you're a bit jealous of the lady in the picture.
I'm not asking you anything.
Well, now, don't be flying off the handle so quick.
Mr. Keene, now may I go?
Yes, but first will you please write your name and address on this slip of paper?
Please, Mr. Keene, don't ask me to leave my address.
Well, the police will undoubtedly want to question you further, Joy.
And so will Mr. Keene and I, young lady.
Well, Joy probably has some very good reason for her reluctance to give her address, Mike.
Oh, I have, Mr. Keene. My father is Philip Harms, the film manufacturer. I can't afford to have my name dragged into a thing like this.
There's no way you can avoid that, Joy. Remember, there's a murder involved.
Oh, very well, then. Here, Mr. Keene.
Thank you, Joy. You may go now.
Goodbye, Mr. Keene.
It seems to me you're letting her off pretty easy, boss.
She said her father was the big film manufacturer Philip Harms, Mike. And if I'm not mistaken, the poison sandwich that killed Stuart Blair smells of a highly poisonous chemical used in making or developing film.
Saints preserve us, boss.
We'll now proceed to Lenore Barclay as the lady in the photograph. We'll look up her address in the phone book, Mike.
Well, here we are at the Carter Publishing Company where Lenore Barclay works, boss.
And here's Miss Barclay's office, Mike.
Miss Barclay, assistant to the publisher. She's got a good job, all right, Mr. Keene.
Come in.
Miss Barclay?
Yes?
I'm Mr. Keene.
Oh, yes. My secretary told me that you were on your way in. You're a private investigator, Mr. Keene?
Yes, and this is my partner, Mr. Clancy.
How do you do?
Pleased to meet you, ma'am.
Will you sit down, gentlemen?
Thank you. We're here on a rather unhappy mission, Miss Barclay, and I want you to prepare yourself for a shock.
Nothing's happened to Mother.
No, I'm not here in regard to your mother.
Thank heaven.
I'm concerned with a friend of yours, a man named Stuart Blair.
Stuart? What about him?
He's been murdered.
Murdered?
His body was found this afternoon in his apartment.
Oh.
He had been poisoned.
Oh, I don't know what to say. It's all so...
Now, take it easy, Miss Barclay.
Oh, it's just that... That Stuart and I were such good friends. It's hard to realize that...
I understand.
Who poisoned Stuart, Mr. Keene?
We don't know yet, Miss Barclay. I was hoping you'd be able to give us some information.
I saw Stuart yesterday for about an hour. He seemed upset, but he didn't tell me what it was about. I'm sorry now that I didn't make him tell me.
Do you know a girl named Joy Harms?
Joy Harms? Yes, I've met her, Mr. Keene. She's blonde and rather pretty.
What was her relationship with Stuart?
They were very good friends, I believe. She'll be just as shocked about this as I am. Come in.
Oh, excuse me, Lenore. I didn't know you were busy.
Alfred, this is Mr. Keene and Mr. Clancy. They're private investigators. My employer, Mr. Carter.
How do you do?
How do you do?
Pleased to meet you.
Keene, aren't you the famous investigator who solved the Bester case some time ago?
Yes, we handled that case, Mr. Carter.
What are you doing here?
Something horrible has happened, Alfred. You remember my friend, Stuart Blair.
Oh, yes, the law student.
He's been murdered.
Great Scott! Well, I'm sorry to hear it, Mr. Keene. Stuart wasn't a bad young man, rather impulsive at times, but straightforward. I remember how madly in love he was with that Harms girl.
Madly in love with her? You didn't mention that, Miss Barclay.
Well, I didn't want to place the girl in an embarrassing position, Mr. Keene. Besides, Stuart rarely talked to me about her, and I didn't pry into his personal affairs.
Was Stuart Blair well-to-do?
Oh, I doubt it. He came to me once and asked for a job here. He wanted to work during the summer between law school sessions.
Did you take him on, Mr. Carter?
No, Mr. Keene. Things are usually slow in the summer, and I couldn't use him. Well, I have to get back to my office. And, Lenore, you'd better take the rest of the day off, my dear, and relax.
Thank you, Alfred.
Well, if there's anything further I can do for you, Mr. Keene, just let me know. Glad to have met you, gentlemen.
Well, thank you, Mr. Carter.
Mr. Keene, I think I'll go home now. I'm not feeling very well.
And perhaps Mike and I can drop you off, Miss Barclay.
Oh, I can get a cab, thank you. I don't know what's the matter with me. I feel so peculiar.
I think you'd better let us take you home.
Yes, perhaps Oh, no. No, wait. I feel so ill. Mr. Keene, something. Call a doctor.
Now sit down over here, Miss Barclay.
Water. I want some.
Now don't touch that water bottle. Mike, get a doctor, quickly. Oh. I think she's been given a dose of what Blair got. She's been poisoned.
Mr. Keene will return in just a moment, but first, here's a word from RCA Victor. RCA Victor table model television is the best you can buy, and at the lowest possible cost, too. It's million-proof television, with quality proven in millions of homes. Stop in at your RCA Victor dealers tomorrow and see how little it costs to own the best. You'll find a selection of table model receivers ranging from 19-inch to 17-inch to 14-inch tube sizes. The 19-inch York, for example, is television's top table model. It's a big-screen beauty with unequal performance. The RCA Victor Newport is another, a set that's all picture. And so is the Kent Ensemble, 17 big inches of million-proof television. Then there's the Bentley. Yes, RCA Victor's Bentley brings in 14 inches of the clearest, brightest pictures you've ever seen. They're available now, these four great table model television sets that illustrate the perfect combination of quality, value, and economy found only in RCA Victor.
This is Tube Talk. This is WRCA. I am Paul Burish.
Now back to Mr. Keene and the Poison Sandwich murder case. While investigating the death of young Stuart Blair, who was murdered by eating a poison sandwich, Mr. Keene, the great investigator, and his partner Mike Clancy happen upon another attempted poisoning, that of attractive Lenore Barclay, who is assistant to the publisher Alfred Carter. It's half an hour after Lenore's sudden collapse, and in her office, Mr. Keene is saying,
"You'll be all right now, Miss Barclay. The doctor suggested that you rest here for a while, then go home."
Thank you, Mr. Keene.
I can't understand it. How could anything like that happen right here in my office?
The poison was evidently placed in the water bottle on her desk, Mr. Carter. I'm having it analyzed now. Luckily, Miss Barclay only had a sip of it.
Saints preserve us, but a glassful of that stuff would kill an elephant.
You're right, Mike. Miss Barclay was very lucky. The same type poison was in the sandwich that killed Stuart Blair.
But I don't know why someone should want to kill me, Mr. Keene. I have no enemies.
Have you had any visitors in your office today, Miss Barclay?
Yes, one. Joy Harms.
Joy Harms?
She came to see me this morning. And now that this has happened, I'm going to tell you everything, Mr. Keene. Joy came here to pick a fight.
Why, Miss Barclay?
She said that I was turning Stuart's mind against her. Oh, it was all nonsense, of course. But I couldn't reason with the girl.
Well, that makes things look pretty dark for Joy Harms. Mike, call Lieutenant Hale at police headquarters right away, will you?
Yes, Mr. Keene.
Are you sure you're feeling better, Lenore?
I'll be all right, Alfred. If Mr. Keene would be kind enough to take me home, I'm sure I'll be all over this in a few hours.
We'll take you home as soon as you feel strong enough to move, Miss Barclay.
Oh, Lieutenant Hale, Mr. Keene wants a word with you. Here you are, boss.
Thanks, Mike. Hello, Lieutenant Hale. Have you the autopsy report on Stuart Blair? He was poisoned. With what kind of poison? That's what I thought from the odor of the sandwich he was eating when he died.
This is my home, Mr. Keene.
I suppose you'd rather Mike Clancy and I didn't mention the poison episode to anyone, Miss Barclay?
Oh, no, no. I never keep secrets from Mother. I'd just as soon tell her.
Who's there?
It's Lenore, Mother.
What are you doing home so early? Oh, you have guests.
This is Mr. Keene and Mr. Clancy. Something happened to me today, Mother, and I don't want you to become excited.
What was it?
Someone tried to poison me.
No. Have you seen a doctor?
Yes, Mrs. Barclay. And your daughter is perfectly all right now.
There's something else I want to tell you, Mother. You'll read about it in the newspapers anyway.
What is it, Lenore?
Stuart Blair was murdered.
Murdered? I think I'd better sit down for a moment.
Let me get you a glass of water.
I know how shocking all this news must be to you, Mrs. Barclay. But Matt Clancy and I are investigating this case along with the police, and I wanted to ask you a question or two.
Yes, of course, Mr. Keene.
Did you know Stuart Blair?
He came here to the house several times. Frankly, I never liked him.
Mother!
Lenore, I may as well tell these gentlemen the truth.
Here, take this water.
Thank you.
Why didn't you like Stuart Blair, Mrs. Barclay?
Because he was shiftless and lazy, Mr. Keene. Always borrowing money from his friends. Why, he took at least $2,000 from my daughter Lenore during the past year.
Stuart needed it, Mother, and I had to help him, that's all.
It's true, Lenore, you make a great deal of money for a woman your age. But instead of saving, you give it away. And most of it to Stuart.
Mother, please.
Don't misunderstand me, Mr. Keene. I'm only telling you this to show you how good my daughter was to Stuart. And so you won't think that she's been implicated in anything as horrible as murder.
Scarcely, Mrs. Barclay. Your daughter was poisoned herself and saved just in time. Lenore's a generous girl.
Too generous, with the wrong people. The one thing I've always dreaded was a penniless old age. Lenore took good care of me, but...
Oh, Mother, now let's not go through that again.
I'd like to be alone for a while, if you don't mind. I have some things to do.
Don't mind Mother, Mr. Keene. She's getting old, and... Well, she has some strange ideas.
I trust you'll be all right now, Miss Barclay, so Mike and I will leave. Oh, by the way, you said you saw Stuart Blair yesterday.
Yes, Mr. Keene, we... I had lunch together.
I just wanted to check on his whereabouts during the past 24 hours. If you need me for anything, Miss Barclay, don't hesitate to call. Here's my card.
Thank you, and goodbye, Mr. Keene. Mr. Clancy. And
goodbye, Miss Barclay.
So long. Well, Mrs. Barclay certainly didn't take to Stuart Blair, the murdered man, did she, Mr. Keene?
She hated him, all right, Mike. And I wonder why. The reason couldn't have only been the money he borrowed from her daughter, Lenore.
Oh, this case gets tougher and tougher as we go along.
There have been two clues that struck me during the past hour or so, which may give me a lead. Everything depends now on what we learn from Joy Harms. She's the one who may hold the answer to the riddle of who murdered Stuart Blair and why. I just want to step into my office for a few minutes, Mike. I left some papers on my desk. Do you have the key?
Yes, Mr. Keene. That was careless of me. I forgot to lock the office door when we left this morning.
Well, we were in such a hurry to get to Stuart Blair's apartment after he called. I didn't think of it myself. I'd better snap on the lights, Mike.
Right, sir.
Mike.
Yes, boss?
Someone's hiding in that closet. The door moved shut.
Come out of there. And keep your hands high or I'll shoot.
No. No, please don't shoot.
Mr. Keene, it's Joy Harms.
What are you doing here?
I just had to see you. Help me, Mr. Keene. Don't let them put me in jail. My father will disown me if he finds out.
I'm afraid there's a strong case against you, Miss Harms. And you're making it stronger by what you're saying now. Now, what is it you know that you haven't told me?
I didn't kill Stuart Blair. What people are saying isn't true. Stuart didn't jilt me. He loved me, and I loved him.
The poison that killed Stuart is a type that's used in making film. Something you might have easy access to, Joy, inasmuch as your father's in the film business. Besides that, there was an attempt on Lenore Barclay's life with the same poison. Soon after you'd seen her in her office.
I only went there to tell her that Stuart and I were to be married. I swear I didn't try to kill her today, Mr. Keene.
Stuart Blair proposed marriage to you?
Yesterday at lunch.
You had lunch with Blair yesterday?
Yes.
Mr. Keene, either this fella Blair ate 9 times a day, or somebody's lying.
We'll find out who's lying right now, Mike. Come along, Joy.
They're taking me to the police?
I'm taking you to Lenore Barclay's home. But first, Mike, we'll make a stop at the laboratory where that poisoned water was analyzed.
You've got a new hunch, boss? What is it?
If I'm right, Mike, if what I'm beginning to believe is true, we'll discover a solution to this case that will amaze you.
Mr. Keene.
Good evening, Mrs. Barclay. Is your daughter at home?
She's inside talking to Mr. Carter. He came over after work to see how she was.
You remember my partner, Mike Clancy, and this is Joy Harms.
Who is it, Mother?
It's Mr. Keene, Lenore.
Oh, good evening, Miss Barclay. Mr. Carter.
How are you, Mr. Keene?
Hello, Joy.
Hello.
I brought Joy Harms over to corroborate something, Miss Barclay. You said you had lunch with Stuart Blair yesterday.
Well?
Joy Harms seems to have had lunch with him, too.
She's lying.
I can prove I was with him from 1 to 3. We were seen together in the restaurant.
Lenore. Well, didn't we have lunch together yesterday afternoon?
Maybe I made a mistake, Alfred. It must have been the day before when I dined with Stuart. I can't remember.
You've made several mistakes, Miss Barclay, and they're beginning to catch up with you.
What do you mean, Mr. Keene?
For one thing, you never touched a drop of water from that bottle on your desk.
Well, then what made me so ill?
Nothing. You were play-acting.
Why?
You poisoned that water so it would appear that Joy Harms had tried to kill you. But you never touched a drop. The chemist just told me that there was so great a concentration of poison in the water that even a few drops would have killed you.
Just what are you driving at, Mr. Keene?
Simply this, Miss Barclay. You killed Stuart Blair. You entered his apartment and poisoned a sandwich you knew he'd eat. He probably found out you wanted to kill him. That's why he tried to get in touch with me.
No,
be quiet, Mother.
You planned it so that Joy Harms would be a suspect. You used a poison that her father used in his manufacturing process, something that would be traced to Joy. The lie you told about having lunch with Stuart was unimportant in itself, but it led to other things.
Oh, I can't believe this is true of my daughter.
Your daughter did something else to arouse my suspicions, Mrs. Barclay. Ordinarily, a girl would never tell her mother an attempt was made on her life. She'd want to spare her mother worry. But you practically insisted on telling your mother, Miss Barclay. Why? Did you believe that even your mother was suspicious of you? And that this would take her off the track?
She's ill, Mr. Keene. That boy, Stuart Blair, made her ill.
Mother, be quiet. He deserved it. I supported him, gave him money, bought him his clothes. Why, I even paid his way through law school. And then he turned me down for this pampered little idiot, Joy Harms. I just couldn't stand knowing he'd marry her.
Oh, I should have known. It was a fixation, Mr. Keene, in her mind. That boy had her hypnotized. If she'd only married Mr. Carter here, as I hoped she would.
Well, I'm certainly glad she didn't.
You're glad.
That's rich. He's glad. Do you think I'd even go near you? Stuart was the handsomest man I ever met.
Oh, but I loved him. I loved him more than anything else in the world.
When you love someone, Miss Barclay, you don't end his life.
I don't care what you do to me now, Mr. Keene. Do you hear? I don't care.
Mr. Keene, my daughter's ill. I'll testify she's out of her mind.
It won't help, Mrs. Barclay. Your daughter is far from insane.
She is insane.
I know it's a hard blow for you, Mrs. Barclay, but you must brace yourself to the realization that your daughter planned and executed a very clever murder, and the courts will so judge.
Lenore, what's to become of me? You know if I had a fortune, I'd spend it all to save you.
But you have no fortune. And you nag me for spending what I earned on the man I love so you could enjoy luxuries. Now you'll have the chance to take care of yourself. And you can't do it. You'll die in the poorhouse.
And you'll die for murder, young lady.
Oh, Lenore, Lenore.
Telephone the police and inform them we've solved the murder of Stuart Blair.
And so Mr. Keene finds the solution to the poison sandwich murder case. Let's drop in on Bob Hope and Hi Averback and see what the boys are cooking up for vacation.
By the way, Hi, where are you going to spend your vacation?
Well, I'm a nature lover, Bob. I've got a beautiful spot picked out. Any direction I look, all I can see is green.
Yeah, how do you get into Crosby's vault? Well, speaking of money, friends, when you've saved up for a big summer weekend or vacation, you want to make every minute count. You like to go where you want, do what you want. So take along the cigarette that gives you what you want. Chesterfield.
Chesterfield's give you mildness. Over 1,500 tobacco growers tell you that Chesterfield's milder aroma means a milder smoke. And the country's first and only cigarette taste panel found that of all brands tested, only Chesterfield leaves no unpleasant aftertaste.
Mildness plus no unpleasant aftertaste. That's the biggest plus in cigarette history. So slip a couple of cartons of Chesterfield's in that vacation suitcase. Remember the words of Bob Chesterfield Hope. Whether you go by plane, train, or bus, take the cigarette with mildness plus. I mean Chesterfield.
Listen again next week to Mr. Keene, Tracer of Lost Persons, a new weekly feature on NBC's All-Star Festival of Mystery, Comedy, Music, and Drama. Brought to you by Anison for fast relief from pain of headache, neuritis, and neuralgia. By RCA Victor, world leader in radio, first in recorded music, and first in television. And by Chesterfield, always milder, better tasting, cooler smoking, plus no unpleasant aftertaste. Mr. Keene, Tracer of Lost Persons, is based on the novel Mr. Keene. The radio sequel is originated and produced by Frank and Ann Hummert. Henry Howard is the director. Philip Clark plays Mr. Keene. Your announcer, Jack Costello. Remember, Mr. Keene is now on the air at this new time, every Friday at 9:30 Eastern Daylight Saving Time. Don't miss Mr. Keene next Friday when the kindly old Tracer turns to the fire escape murder case.
Next, it's Roy Shield and Company on NBC.
Crying, be happy again. Oh, when you're smiling, when When you're smiling, the whole world smiles with you.
Well, you know, when you're smiling, and I hope you're smiling after Mr. Keene, the whole world smiles with you. That's Cliff Bruner and the Texas Wanderers from deep in the heart of the Depression. 1938, a Decca recording. How about that? And what would old-time radio be without a few commercials?
Light up a Cremo, a mellow, mild Cremo, a winning smoke by far. You can search every climb, but at three for a dime, you can't beat a Cremo cigar. Sweet-scented cigar-smoking society. This is Arthur Godfrey down in Washington, D.C. Mike Mann Godfrey, Cremo's capricious custodian of the calorific cantata.
Three for a dime, huh? A Cremo? Oh, boy, that thing's got a smell. I don't know, what does it smell like?
This is Sandy Becker saying, keep cooking with Crisco. It's all vegetable. It's digestible.
Thanks, Frank. That was swell.
I'm glad you liked it, Harry.
You know, you're a darn good-looking fellow. I'll bet you have lots of girls crazy about you.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, you're just being modest. But tell me, how do you feel when you're in love?
How do I feel? My gosh, Harry, it's the most wonderful feeling in the world. Why, when I'm in love, I'm just breezing along with the breeze. I never mind the bumps or the ruts along the highway of life. I float through life on a cloud.
And that, folks, is exactly the way you feel in the famous Dodge Air Glide ride. If you haven't experienced this thrill, visit the showroom of your local Dodge dealer. See for yourself the extra value you get in this big, new, money-saving Dodge. Believe me, folks, it certainly is more car for less money. Think of it. The new Dodge Beauty Winner of 1936 now sells for only $640 and up. List price is at factory Detroit.
Say, that is something, Harry. But how about you singing a song now?
Don't mind if I do.
Well, it ain't Harry, but here's the song anyhow.
You'd be so easy to love, so easy to idolize, all others above, so worth the yearning. Keep every home fire burning for why we'd be so grand at the game, so carefree together that it does seem a shame.
Wow, we, Sammy Davis Jr., with a little Cole Porter ditty there. And I recently saw Sammy make a guest appearance on The Rifleman, and you know, it doesn't get any better than that. I was kind of hoping he'd sing a song somewhere similar to kind of that Dean Martin, Ricky Nelson thing in Rio Bravo. You know, if you have the singers there, you might as well sing a song. Well, anyway, lest we forget, this is Tube Talk. I am Paul Burish. This is a vintage radio program in many different ways. You can reach the show. It's TubeTalk1@gmail.com. TubeTalk1@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Check out TubeTalkClassicRadioShow.org for some more information on what we try to accomplish here. We're here each and every Friday night and hope you are too.
When you're looking for a treat to freshen taste and keep breath sweet, get double smoothness, flavor too. Get the gum that's double good to chew.
Double your pleasure, double your fun with double good, doublemint gum.
We hope you've enjoyed our vintage program this evening, along with a few nifty commercials and some swell music. And you know, it's almost time again. If you're interested and you're in the New England area and you'd like to find out some more about vintage radio, restoration of vintage radios, listening to vintage radios, who are these people, how do I get in touch with them? Check out nearc.net. That's NEARC.net. We've got a show coming up, so check it out. More details at nearc.net. NEARC is the New England Antique Radio Club, and they put on a fine event twice a year, so go check that out. Almost time for us here to head out for the evening. Haven't heard this one in a while, and let's try to wrap things up here. We appreciate you listening. Tell your friends. We'll see you next week.
Stands on golden sands and watches the ship that goes sailing somewhere beyond the sea. She's there watching for me. If I could fly like birds on high, then straight to her arms that go sailing. Beyond the star, it's near beyond the moon. I know beyond a doubt, my heart will lead me there soon. Beyond the shore, we'll kiss just as before.
Bobby boy.